Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Finance Minister Pascal Donohue and Public Expenditure Minister Michael McGrath unveiled at 1 o'clock a near 11 billion euro budget package today. A budget, they say, that will make a difference to families and individuals and businesses. The Minister for Finance, Pascal Donohue, joins me now. Minister, you're very welcome to Drive Time.
Good evening, Cormac. Thank you for having me on your programme.
It is an unprecedented package in the budget, 11 billion euro. Yet, you chose only to increase core social protection payments by 12 euro. Why?
Because we made lots of other changes to the social welfare system that we believe will also help. We made changes in relation to child benefits. We've made changes in relation to the working family payment. We've made changes to support carers. We have to try and get the balance right in our social welfare policy changes on budget day to try to help those who really depend on the core rates, while also in particular then looking after those who also have other particular needs that we support. It does mean, however, that if you're a pensioner living alone on the fuel allowance, between the 12 euro change that we made and all of the other changes that I just mentioned, this budget is worth 1,700 euro to you across the rest of this year and next.
But those changes, as you say, are for a particular reason, be it fuel or whatever the case may be. But we have an energy crisis where people have seen astronomical increases in their energy bills. And we have also alongside it a cost of living crisis. Now, for that cost of living crisis, you have increased core social protection rates by 12 euro. Now, my question to you is why, when you could have done a lot more, you have squirreled away billions euro in a rainy day fund. If it isn't raining now, Minister, for an awful lot of people texting our programme, outlining their desperate situation, when will it be raining?
But what we have done in the changes that we have made in personal taxation, in the changes that we've made in the cost of childcare, in the changes that we've made in going to college, try to put in place reductions that we can either implement quickly or that will be in place for all of next year that will help with the broader cost of living challenge.
Once off, then.
And then, the changes that we've made in personal taxation and social welfare core rates are not. They're in place for all of next year. And then to deal with your further question there regarding putting money in the National Reserve Fund, I've done that for two reasons. The first one is, it's not so long ago that we found out as a state and as a country what are the consequences of spending money that you might not have again in the future. And as welcome as our corporate tax receipts are at the moment, I do believe there's a case for setting them aside and not becoming dependent on them to fund day-to-day spending in case we find out they're not available to us next year.
And that is fair. That is a fair point, and it's something you've done before and we've reaped the benefit of it. How and ever, you could have dipped partially into that fund. We spoke, John Cook on our programme moments ago, spoke with struggling families in Ballymahon and a mother with children who have complex medical needs, who drives around before filling her her car with a tank of petrol to find the cheapest price. And she is looking at huge bills she can't pay, complex medical needs and bills that she can't pay in that regard. And her message to you was, spend a day in our shoes. The message was, you don't understand the plight and the desperate situation people are in if you're putting billions aside instead of helping people more.
So you were good enough to acknowledge there in your question that because of the way I ran the public finances before COVID hit, we were in a position then to look after our country for a sustained period of time for 2 years. When I was in the early days of responding back to COVID, I genuinely thought the measures I was bringing in might be needed for 3 months. We had them there for 2 years. Why were we able to do it? Well, central banks did help, but Ireland was in a position where our national finances could allow us to help for longer. And what I would say to your listener in Ballymahon, what I would say to that your listener who's driving around looking for the lowest price of fuel, is firstly, the reason why we extended the excise rates in diesel and petrol, the reason why I've kept the lower rate of VAT on gas and electricity, is to provide help now. But I'd also say
that because of,
so Cormac, just allow me to just quickly conclude, I think we've learned so much that even though good things can be around the corner, we have seen that big challenges like a war can hit quickly. And I can't guarantee when those economic consequences will come to an end.
No, but
so what I want to do is be in a position that what I do now, I don't have to reverse next year.
But isn't it a consequence of your decision now to reserve billions of euro instead of spending it now? It's a guarantee that children, scoliosis patients will spend longer on waiting lists. Cataracts patients will still be going to Belfast. And people on hospital waiting lists will spend longer there because you chose not to spend money.
Well, I hope you'll appreciate and allow me to make the case that the decisions that I make are utterly motivated by trying to do the right thing by young children who are afflicted by scoliosis, that are utterly driven by trying to help those who have difficulties with cataracts and need support in having them removed.
Your actions, would you not accept?
But what I have is a duty and a solemn duty as Minister for Finance, not just to be able to respond back to those needs that are so acute, but to be responsible overall for the many other needs, the many other difficulties that exist in our country and our society, and our ability to be able to help day by day. And what I don't want to be in a situation, Cormac, is let's say we move into 2023, we find the world economy darkening, we find the war in Ukraine getting even more dangerous, and Ireland finding itself in a position where we're at risk, where we're vulnerable, where we're not able to pay and afford for the public services or borrow we might need in the future. And my duty, which I'm accountable to the country, to the Oireachtas for, which of course you're correctly pressing me on, is to get that balance right, which is what the budget is trying to do.
And we'll come back to that in just a second. But another group that's under immense pressure are renters. There's a tax credit, two tax credits, €500 apiece. But the opposition is saying that it's absolutely inadequate. It's still half. The €1,000, if you take the total, is still less than half of the average rent in Dublin. And the credits are less than the rent increases that people endured last year.
It doesn't matter what I bring forward, it will be inadequate in the eyes of the opposition. What I'm trying to do is make a difference to tenants, to those who are in the rental sector, who I really appreciate that over this year, and maybe for the time ahead, things have become harder, rents have gone up quicker because of the number of landlords that have left the private rental sector and because of changes that are happening in our property markets. And what I would respectfully make the case for is this credit should also be seen in the context of the changes that I have made in our personal tax system to ensure that anybody who's earning less than €40,000 is no longer paying the higher rate of income tax. And these measures in combination, I believe, can provide some help, some support and make a difference at a time in which prices are going up.
Well, I just wonder because the IPOA have told us in this programme that it won't stop landlords leaving the market, and people before profit are saying this will go straight into the pockets of landlords, this credit.
But what you are correctly doing here is you look group by group by group about, you know, the need for me to be able to meet all the needs that matter to different groups, and I can't do that. And
no,
in truth, no government can.
Isn't that correct?
Well, we are in a situation that we are having private rental landlords leave the sector at the moment, but that is why we've brought in an additional change in our tax code to try to allow more private rental accommodation to be made available and encourage new landlords to come in. But the case that I would still make is in the round is that while you know, different groups and different parts of our society will press for as much as they need for each group, and I can completely understand why that would happen. But what I have to be able to do is, in the round, try to make progress on lots of different things, yeah, including the cost of living crisis, and be confident that our public finances will still be safe.
Well, one area you didn't make progress on at all is charging more tax on institutional investors, REITs and so on. Now, Pierre Sardy of Sinn Féin said that the champagne flutes will be getting an awful going this evening because they can't believe their luck, he says.
But these are the same institutional investors that are building new rental accommodation in Ireland. Look at the size of our economy at the moment. Look at the fact that we have three banks at the moment that we want to provide all of the capital investment of billions of euros per year to build 35,000 homes in our country. We do need large institutional investors
to
provide additional rental accommodation. Cormac, that's a Sinn Féin trope that you're repeating.
No, hang on. It's my question to you, and it's a valid question. Why not make them pay more tax?
Cormac, that is a Sinn Féin claim, and they're already paying tax. The way they pay their tax is when the income is returned back to the people who invest in REITs, they pay tax at that point in exactly the same way that taxes in relation to return from pension funds are taxed.
So what they pay is fair, is that what you're saying?
Well, anybody who is looking at the rate of tax that is paid will always want to raise questions in relation to whether it could be more. But they do pay tax.
And you'd say it's fair.
I would say that any tax that we have in place, I want to be both fair and effective. They pay tax. But what I've also done in my budget speech today is that I have announced that I think it's appropriate to sit back now and assess all of the different ways in which we tax investment in our country at the moment, particularly in housing. But the key point is anybody who invests in a REIT, in an investment fund, pays tax at the point of return. Okay. And of course, what Sinn Féin are saying is, on one hand, they want more private rental accommodation to be made available, but those who provide it at scale, they don't want in our country.
Well, in fairness, it is not just Sinn Féin who are saying this. It's also the IPOA who said it's an awful pity that traditional landlords don't get the same treatment as the institutional landlords. And if they did, in terms of tax treatment, they say they may stay in the market.
But sure, let's just examine that claim for a moment. So let's say I announced on Budget Day that we are going to allow the members of the IPOA, their landlords, to have a lower rate of income tax than everybody else. So the next question you would put to me if I announced that is, why doesn't that apply to tenants? The next question after that is, how about a farmer who's seen the price of their inputs go up, the price they might sell in the future be uncertain, why can't they pay a lower rate of tax as well? A fundamental principle of how we have, and you were quizzing me about this a moment ago, fair taxation, is we tax all income the same.
Let's move on to energy costs, because it's a huge area and a huge area of concern for an awful lot of people. It's causing households untold stress and fear that they literally mightn't be able to keep the light and the heat on this winter. Now, €600 in electricity credits for all households to be paid in three instalments of €200. The opposition in Sinn Féin are saying this is not enough. You should have provided certainty by capping prices.
The idea of bringing forward a price cap puts the taxpayer on the hook for any change that could happen in the future that none of us can predict. The €200 that we're bringing forward, which will be made available on three occasions towards the rest of this year and into early next year, is a payment that I believe will make a difference. It's one that we're confident that we can afford and that we can repeat on three different occasions.
But the problem, Minister, is even with your credits, as good as they are, people listening this evening have absolutely no idea how much their energy bills will be and if they'll be able to afford it.
Oh, I accept that, Cormac, which is why, again, with the budget, you do have to see it in the round. If you're somebody who's on, let's say, €40,000, not only will you receive the energy credits, you'll also see you be able to pay the standard rate of income tax on all of that €40,000. If you're a pensioner, you'll also look at the additional payments that you will receive through the social welfare system, through the change in the core rates, in addition to the increase in the energy payment. So I do accept the premise that this €200 payment, as it comes in, your listeners will look at that in the context of energy bills that are going up. But conversely, I would say you do need to look at the budget in the round. If you're a family that has, for example, your children in childcare, we're going to be cutting the cost of your childcare next year by over a fifth. And that is another way in which we're trying to help, not only with the rising price of energy, but also with the change in the cost of living.
Free GP care is being extended to over 400,000 people. Are the GPs on board?
The Department of Health, I know, will be engaging with the representatives of our GP community to agree a way in which that can be rolled out.
So that hasn't been agreed yet?
My understanding is that discussions are underway in relation to us. But I think is important is that if those discussions are successful, that the funding is in place to actually allow that measure to be implemented, which is what budgets are about.
Isn't this, Minister, like the school transport scheme, which has been an omni-shambles, announcing something before it has been agreed and the detail of it agreed as well? GPs have been on the air today saying that this will make waiting times longer to see a GP and will make it more difficult for people to secure a GP base.
But Cormac, the purpose of budgets is to announce what money we have available to do what. I'd make the opposite argument to you. Let's say we were in a situation that an agreement was reached in relation to the rollout of free GP care for more children and the money wasn't in place to do it. That itself would be a problem.
Well, that's a bit of a red herring. The reality here is to announce the funding.
Sorry, just allow me just to answer your question. To allow the funding to be put in place to allow a health measure to be rolled out. That's what the role of budgets is. There's no perhaps about it. That's what budgets are
it's
about.
It's a red herring what you say, because
I hope what could happen now is negotiations between the GP and the Department of Health can be successful.
What you've done, in effect, is announce something that you don't know if you can implement or not, or deliver. But we'll see. Can I ask you some detail on the retrofit scheme? Because we spoke with Oisín Coughlan. He said the retrofit target should have been 100,000 households instead of 37,500 or so. Tell us a little bit more about the detail on this. Is there going to be an increased level of grants, for example?
Cormac, I think as much as I can announce and deal with your different questions, the detail of the retrofitting scheme, I'm sure Minister Ryan will be in a position to clarify. I don't have that information as part of a Budget Day package. I know it's an important matter, but I know some of my colleagues are better equipped to answer that question.
Okay, and I appreciate that, your frankness on it. The levy, and we will chase Minister Ryan on that, by the way, because
I'm sure you will.
There's insatiable demand for detail on that. People are saying it's inadequate and a scheme for the rich so far. Anyway, the levy that you announced, the levy on concrete blocks and pouring concrete and other concrete products and so on. Now, this rang alarm bells for me, I must say. Surely, Minister, that'll increase construction costs and will ultimately hit house buyers, because it'll increase the price of houses.
But we have a need to be able to fund the commitments that we've made, for example, in making progress on the great challenge of MICA. And only today the government noted the report in relation to the work that may need to be done on apartments in the future. I can't pretend or suggest that we can make that money available out of nowhere. And what we have done is looked at the inflationary impact that a measure like that could have. And we estimate that if it was all passed on, it would be half to up to 1% of the cost of a new construction or a new dwelling. So, yes, I do accept there's a risk. But what a bigger risk would be is a government committing to lots of different large spending programmes and the money not being in place to deliver.
But it's a worry for people who can't afford the price of houses as they are at the moment.
Is the reason why that I've maintained the Help to Buy scheme for 2 years, to help those who are in that situation.
Yeah, well, people have said that's increased the price of houses as well. But can I finish on this one? Because you've said that this, we will overcome this, you say, in an effort to reassure people. You say we will overcome this crisis because our economy has strong foundations. But you also said growth will slow and domestic demand will decrease next year. And you warn about being too reliant in our economy on corporation tax. Now, if the situation is precarious in that way, how have you expanded the tax base?
So I've expanded the tax base, for example, through continuing to go ahead with changes in relation to carbon tax. And what I will do, as I've done in other budgets, is find ways in which we can expand the tax base to make sure we have the revenue available for public services that we need. And I've done that in other budgets.
But a minimal increase in carbon tax, which was flagged already, but you can't point to any other area in which you've increased the tax base. That's a red flag, surely.
Well, Cormac, let's just take a step back and look at where we are. Many of the questions that you have put to me are about how people are coping with the rising cost of living. Widening the tax base, just to explain that to your listeners, and I know you know this, is about how you put in place tax increases. The question would have to be posed about whether wide tax increases are appropriate at a time in which we will have inflation of 7% for next year and around 8% for this year.
You could have hit
the answer to that question is not.
You could have hit the institutional investors, back to our question earlier.
So let's look at each of those in turn to go back to it. You talk about hitting the wealthier, but of course we have a very, very progressive tax code. Those who earn the most pay the most in tax. And we've also brought forward a set of budget measures that are very, very progressive in giving more to have least. And as I said, in relation to the institutional investors, those investors are the same people that we need to build more homes in our country. And what I have to do is in recording the fact that we still expect our tax revenue to grow because our economy did well this year, because we've recovered well from the pandemic, is try to ensure that the measures that I bring forward can help for next year and that we can afford them the year after that. And that, Cormac, is what this budget is aiming to do.
OK, I'll let you weigh, Minister Pascal Donoghue. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. 51551, Seamus in Sligo says, anyone looking for certainty at a time of war is living in cuckoo land. What incentive is there for anyone to reduce energy consumption with a cap? That's crazy commentary, says Seamus. And one more, building homes needs to be done by the state, not privately. It should not be for profit. Public-private partnerships don't work. Stop investment funds buying houses, says that listener. We'll take a very quick break.